Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today, we're looking closely at Session 11 of A Curse of Strahd D&D Game, from that GM Wintermute YouTube channel video you shared.
That's right.
You wanted us to pull out the key events, the important takeaways, kind of see what makes this session interesting, right?
Exactly. Our mission is basically to dissect this session, figure out what really mattered,
yeah,
without getting lost in every single dice roll. You know.
Gotcha. So this session, it looks like it's mostly set in the crypts under Castle Ravenloft. Players facing undead, puzzles, traps, the usual dungeon crawl stuff, but, well, Ravenloft style.
Precisely. And they're coming into this session, Session 11, already holding some pretty significant items, the Tome of Strahd, the Sun Sword, the Holy Symbol. So they're not, like, starting fresh.
Okay. That context is important. They're already kind of geared up.
Yeah. And this session seems to pick up with them having a specific goal. Rescue someone called Mad Dog.
Mad Dog, okay.
Who's apparently guarded by a general Mad Dog, probably not related, maybe, and three Hellhounds. So, boom, potential combat right off the bat.
Right, straight into the action. That definitely sets a tone for Session 11. They open a crypt door, thinking they'll find this Mad Dog person.
And instead, a huge hellish horse comes charging out.
Whoa, okay. Not Mad Dog.
Not Mad Dog. So, surprise round. Maybe not, but definitely initiative gets rolled immediately. Combat starts. It's a great way to kick off the exploration, honestly. Keeps them on their toes.
Yeah, no kidding. And one of the players, Eski, the spellcaster, right? They react fast. Hits them with a cone of cold.
Yep, a big spell right away.
Yeah.
Shows they're taking this threat seriously. And there's that little mention in the source about, like, the visuals on the virtual tabletop versus the actual mechanics of the spell.
Oh, right. That's such a common thing in online D&D, isn't it? Like, does it look cool versus how much damage does it actually do?
Exactly. It's part of that shared storytelling. So the fight continues. Players are using Smite, throwing fire damage at the Hellhound's smart move against Hellhounds.
Always go for the fire with Hellhounds. Yeah.
Right. And there was some slight confusion about who was controlling Mark's character for a moment.
Oh, like player swapping or just a mix-up?
Sounds like just a quick mix-up in the heat of battle. Happens all the time.
True. So Redondo, the rogue, gets involved, uses sneak attack.
Yeah, and apparently does some serious damage. Really highlights the rogue's role, you know, finding those openings, especially with flanking or offhand attacks mentioned.
And then there's this surprise detail about Mark having triple attack.
Right. That kind of comes out of nowhere in the description of the fight. Makes you wonder if even the player remembered they had it until that moment.
Or maybe it's a new thing. Either way, finding that out mid-combat is interesting.
Very. So one Hellhound goes down pretty quick.
Okay.
Which then triggers opportunity attacks. And Jonas, who's also a rogue.
Another rogue. Okay.
Yeah, he manages to get his sneak attack damage in on an opportunity attack thanks to a specific rogue feature. Shows good tactical play.
Nice. So the rogues are really pulling their weight in this fight. What about Grandma? The source mentioned Grandma.
Oh, yes. Grandma uses Guiding Bolt, which is a solid spell, but also attacks with something called an Ultimate Biscuit.
An Ultimate Biscuit? Seriously?
That's what it says. Adds a bit of humor, doesn't it? You need that sometimes.
Definitely breaks the tension. Okay, so they handle the horse, the Hellhounds, the general. What happens next in Session 11? More crypts.
Yep, they start exploring further. They find one crypt. There's a corpse inside clutching a staff.
Oh, a puzzle.
Classic setup. They have to figure out which end of the staff goes into a recess in the wall.
Okay.
And they get it right. It reveals hidden scrolls.
Hmm.
Cone of cold, fireball, lightning bolt. Pretty good haul.
Nice. Solid spell rewards. So exploration pays off sometimes.
Sometimes.
Mm.
But not always. They check out other crypts too. Some are just empty.
As you'd expect, I guess.
Right. Mm. Adds realism.
Yeah.
One crypt door has its name just, like totally scratched out by claw marks. Bit ominous.
Ooh, yeah. Suggest something nasty used to be there, or maybe still is somewhere else.
Could be. Another empty one is described as having a carnal stench, whatever that means.
Ew. Okay, let's maybe not dwell on that one. Did they find anything significant after the empties?
They did. They found a tomb that feels different. Black coffin, vaulted ceiling. There's a lever on the wall that raises a portcullis blocking the entrance.
Okay. Black coffin, portcullis. This sounds important, like really important in Ravenloft.
Definitely signals a major location.
Yeah.
And Jonas, the rogue again, decides to check it out. He's got protection from good and evil active.
Handy spell.
And he uses oil on himself to be extra slippery trying to get past the portcullis stealthily.
Huh. Resourceful. Did it work?
He gets in, yes.
Mm.
But he's immediately confronted.
By what or who?
Three figures. The Brides of Strahd.
Oh, wow. Okay. Things just escalated. Again, Session 11 is relentless.
Pretty much instant combat, big fight.
Against three of the brides. That's
Huh.
tough. How did that go?
It was involved. Jonas uses uncanny dodge to have damage at one point. The Sun Sword comes out, obviously very effective, that radiant damage against vampires.
Crucial item for this campaign. Yeah.
Definitely. They focus fire, try to overcome the bride's regeneration.
Wait, they regenerate too? Like Strahd?
One of them is mentioned as having regeneration, yeah.
Yeah.
Makes them harder to put down. And the brides aren't just sitting there taking hits, they use legendary actions.
Ah, right. Actions outside their turn makes the fight way more unpredictable.
Exactly. Adds complexity. Players have to make smart tactical calls, who to target, how to flank, when to use big spells. One bride even tries to grapple Eski.
Trying to lock down the spellcaster. Smart move by the bride. So did the players win.
Sort of. They manage to destroy one bride completely. It turns into cenders. That's the term used.
Cenders. That's specific. Any idea what that means?
Not immediately clear from the source, honestly. Could be a specific game mechanic, maybe related to vampire spawn destruction in this setting, or maybe just flavor text. It's intriguing, though.
Yeah, it is. So one down. What about the other two?
They escape, disengage, run off. One apparently disappears into the earth in a western alcove.
Into the earth. Okay, so vampire powers. They didn't finish the job then. The threat's still out there.
Still up there. So the immediate fight's over. They check out that black coffin the bride's regarding.
And let me guess. Empty.
Empty. Presumably Strahd's main coffin, but he's not home.
Figures.
But Grandma provides another moment of, let's call it character. She apparently shovels all the grave dirt out of the empty coffin and leaves Strahd a message.
Huh. Bold move. I like Grandma.
Had some personality for sure. Shows the players aren't just scared adventurers anymore, maybe.
Yeah, a bit of defiance. So after desecrating Strahd's coffin, what's next?
They actually have a quick chat about a wish sword they apparently have.
A wish sword, as in grants wishes. Whoa.
Seems like it. They brainstorm ideas like, could they wish Strahd human?
Yeah.
Or wish for something else entirely?
Man, a wish spell is campaign altering stuff. That's a huge asset.
Huge. But they don't seem to use it right then. They also remember, oh yeah, we still need to find Arena.
Right. The main plot goal often gets sidelined by immediate crypt crawling dangers.
Happens all the time. So they continue exploring that same tomb area. There are these gloomy alcoves. One apparently teleported a player earlier. Before the session, maybe?
Tricky architecture.
And between two alcoves, leading down some more stairs, there's this soft blue curtain of light.
Magical barrier. Uh-oh.
Uh-oh is right. Because when the players try to walk through it, something weird happens. Depends on their alignment.
Alignment, how so?
Anyone, chaotic or neutral, Jonas, Radon, Agrim, Adia tries to step through and zap, they're instantly teleported back to the top of the stairs.
What? Seriously?
Yeah, only Ismark, who's lawful good, can pass through the curtain.
Wow, okay. That's a specific trap. So it splits the party right then and there.
Immediately splits the party. Ismark is downstairs alone. The rest are stuck up top.
So what does Ismark find down there on his own?
He finds himself in a pretty grand tomb. Two white marble slabs, coffins. Turns out it's the tomb of King Barov and Queen Ravenovia,
Strahd's parents.
Strahd's parents. Big lore drop. Ismark apparently briefly desecrates the effigy and skeleton before leaving. Seems to be a theme.
Ismark's got issues, maybe. But wow, finding the parents' tomb, that's significant background.
Huge. Meanwhile, back upstairs, the others figure out a solution. They cast Dispel Magic on the blue curtain.
Ah, smart thinking. Does it work?
It works. The blue light vanishes. They can go downstairs and rejoin Ismark.
Good. Party reunited. So they explore the parents' tomb together.
They do. And then they find another tomb nearby. Also white marble, but this one has an intricately inlaid coffin.
Who's this one?
It's Sergei von Zarevich.
Strahd's brother, the one Tatiana, Irina loved.
That's the one. And inside, his body is magically preserved, still wearing his armor.
Whoa. Is the armor anything special?
It is. It's described as shining plus two plate mail.
Plus two plate. That's really good. Like really good magical armor.
Yeah, huge find. The party decides to take it.
Can't say I blame them. Desecration seems to be par for the course in this session, anyway.
Pretty much. Finders keepers, especially when it's plus two plate. So the session seems to wind down around there.
Okay, so they've got this amazing armor. They've fought brides, explored crypts, found Strahd's parents and brother. But they still need Irina, right? And Strahd's still out there. And two brides.
Exactly. They discuss needing rest, but decide to press on with their mission for now. Session 11 ends with them having gained a powerful asset, but still facing major unresolved threats.
Now, wait a sec. Way back at the start, you said their goal for Session 11 was rescuing Mad Dog.
Ah, yes. Good catch.
Did that ever happen? Did they find him? Or any clues? It feels like we completely lost that thread with the horse and the brides and the tombs.
You know, looking back at the source material for Session 11, it doesn't seem like it was resolved. They got immediately sidetracked by the hellish horse, then the brides, then all the tomb discoveries.
So Mad Dog is still wherever Mad Dog is, possibly guarded by General Mad Dog.
Seems that way. It's a perfect example of how D&D sessions can go, isn't it? You start with one goal, but the dungeon itself throws unexpected challenges and discoveries your way, and suddenly the original plan is on the back burner. Maybe it gets picked up next session. Maybe not for a while.
Huh. Interesting. So quite the session then, this session 11. Chaos, combat, puzzles, major lore reveals, amazing loot.
Yeah, it really had a bit of everything. From that first unexpected horse encounter to finding Sergei's armor, it was packed. Definitely gives a clear snapshot of the dangers and potential rewards within Castle Ravenloft.
The fight with the bride sounded particularly intense, especially with the legendary actions and escapes, and that alignment trap is a fascinating mechanic.
It really is. The way Session 11 blended standard D&D elements like combat and puzzles with these unique Ravenloft twists, the brides, the family tombs, the alignment curtain, that's what makes this campaign setting so compelling, I think.
So, wrapping up our deep dive on Session 11, what stands out most to you, or what questions does it leave you with?
For me, it's maybe the sheer density of significant events packed into one session.
Mm.
And the question of those senders, what was that? Also, the unresolved Mad Dog plotline is intriguing. It shows how organic the story progression feels.
Yeah, definitely. And that wish sword is a Chekhov's gun just waiting to go off, isn't it? Maybe a future deep dive could look at player tactics against high-level threats like the brides, or maybe dig into the von Zarevich family history hinted at here. Lots to potentially explore from just this one session.
Absolutely. Let us know what threads you'd find most interesting to pull on next time.